The following is a synopsis of the Rebbe's talks of Shabbos Parshas VeYikra, Parshas HaChodesh, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Hey Tuf Nun Shin Aleph, corresponding with the year 1991. This Shabbos, the Rebbe says, which is Rosh Chodesh Nissan, that year, Rosh Chodesh Nissan came on a Shabbos. Three Torah scrolls were removed from the Ark. In one of them, they read the Parsha of the week. The second one, they read about Rosh Chodesh, the new month. And the third one, the command of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Resh Chodashim. This is the month that is for you, the head of all months. That's the Parsha's HaChodesh, the special Torah reading, one of four, the last of four special Torah readings. Now this is a very novel thing, a unique experience, because usually one Torah scroll is taken out of the Ark. Holidays and Shabbos and other festive occasions, we take out two Sifrei Torah. Very rarely do we take out three. Simchas Torah, every year, we take out three Torahs. And in some years, when Rosh Chodesh Nissan or Tevis, or Adar, occur on a Shabbos, then we take three Sifrei Torah as well. Now there's another special, unique quality about this Shabbos, because all of the three Torah readings are connected to each other. The third Torah reading, which is Parshas HaChodesh, we have the command to sanctify Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the head of the month of Nissan. The second Torah reading talks about Rosh Chodesh. And Parshas VaYikra, which is the first Torah reading, was said on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So it means that all three Torah readings are connected to the theme of Rosh Chodesh, and more specifically, Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Everything that happens in this world has to serve as a lesson in serving God, especially something so central and so significant as taking out three Torah scrolls. So in order to understand the significance of the three Torah scrolls that we have taken out and used in this Shabbos, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we have to also understand the significance of the three Torah scrolls that we take out on Simchas Torah, and through that we can understand the significance of three Torah scrolls in this Shabbos. And we also have to know that even things that happen once a year by taking out three Torah scrolls on Simchas Torah, it's not just a isolated thing, but it has to serve as a guidepost, as a lesson for the entire year. And even things that happen once in several years, like taking out three Sifrei Torah on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Nissan, they also have to serve as a lesson and as guidance for the entire year and for all years. What is the significance of three Torah scrolls? So let's reflect, the Rebbe says, on the meaning of the Torah scroll that we take out. When we take out the Torah scroll, everyone recites the verse, Vayihi ben so ha'aron, when the ark would travel, and Moshe would say, Kuma Hashem, v'yafutza evecha, v'yanusa misanecha, mipanecha, arise, O God, and scatter your enemies, may your enemies flee before you. And this is a verse which is even considered to represent an independent book of the Torah. And what does this verse tell us? That in any time, and in every Jew, there's a Moshe Rabbeinu, his own specific, his own individual Moshe Rabbeinu, that tells him, that arouses him, and facilitates there should be an increase in all matters of holiness. Kuma Hashem, arise God. And nullification of all the negatives that disturb us in our service of God, which is the second part of the verse, your enemies should be scattered and they should flee. So when we take out the Sefer Torah, that gives us the power to serve God in general and specifically to increase in all matters of holiness and to get rid of all the negatives that are obstacles to us. Now we can understand the significance of taking out three Torah scrolls. What this implies is that we have a special, unique empowerment to serve God in a matter of chazakah, in a strong manner, because we know in Jewish law, something that you do three times establishes a pattern, establishes a permanent structure. That means it's something that is chazakah, strong and powerful. Now there are two possibilities for taking out three Torah scrolls. You can have the strengthening of our service of God that is part of our routine and daily service of God that we have all the time. That's why we take out three Torah scrolls every Simchas Torah. That empowers us in our regular routine service of God. But there's a second type of empowerment and strengthening, and that's an increase on what we do throughout the year. And for that, we take out three Sefer Torah on Rosh Chodesh Nisan that occurs on a Shabbos. The difference is reflected in the Torah readings of these three books. In Rosh Chodesh Nisan that occurs on a Shabbos, we read about Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Chodesh Nisan in particular. Simchas Torah, we read the beginning of the Torah, Bereishis, Bara Elokim, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. And our sages ask, why does the Torah begin with Bereishis when it should have really begun with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? The first mitzvah of the Torah is the sanctification of the new moon. And the answer given by our sages is that the reason that the Torah begins with Bereishis, with the story of creation, is to teach us that God is the proprietor of the entire world. He created it, and he decided to give Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, to the other nations, and through them, and after them, take it from them and give it to the Jewish people. So therefore, that is a response to those who claim that the Jewish people took the land of Israel by force, and they took something that belongs to someone else. And the answer is no, God created it and he gave it to the Jewish people. So from this we see that the Torah reading of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is about the new month of Nisan, that represents the idea of the commandments and the miraculous way that God relates to this world. And in fact, the whole month of Nisan is called Chodesh HaGeula, the month of liberation, which also means liberating the world from the natural order and bringing it into a supernatural order. Simchas Torah, on the other hand, is symbolic of the natural order. It's a continuation of Bereishis Bara Elokim. It's connected to the reading in which we talk about the creation of the world. In fact, the whole month of Tishrei is connected to the natural order, with the creation of the world. And the end of the month of Tishrei, of the holidays of Tishrei, Simchas Torah, we read about the creation of heaven and earth. So that's the difference between the three Torah scrolls that we take out in Simchas Torah and the three Torah scrolls that we take out in Rosh Chodesh Nisan that occurs on the Shabbos. Because Simchas Torah, we're strengthening our natural order of serving God, the constant, the routine, the everyday level of serving God. Whereas Rosh Chodesh Nisan that occurs on the Shabbos, that strengthens and empowers us to serve God in a supernatural manner, which is an increase over the normal and routine level of serving God. Now our sages made a point that we should read this particular parsha, V'Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which talks about the first mitzvah the Jewish people were given, the mitzvah of sanctifying the new month, and the month begins with, the year begins with Nisan. The difference between a mitzvah and Torah transcends this world. Mitzvah means that this is a commandment to a person how to conduct himself in this physical world as a way of connecting to God. From this we can understand that the miraculous approach to serving God that we need in the month of Nisan is not just about things that transcend the world, like learning of Torah. On the contrary, the learning of Torah is underscored on Simchas Torah. So what are we talking about when we talk about this miraculous level, the supernatural, transcendent level of serving God? We're talking about how it becomes a mitzvah. That means it has to permeate the practical and the physical of this world. That means that even when we are engaged in this world, it should not be a routine, natural, normal relationship with Hashem. It should be a miraculous one, something that transcends nature and transcends our normal day-to-day routine. And this is even more pronounced in this year, the year in which the Rebbe said this talk, the year that is known of as Hoye Tehei Shnas Arena Neflois. This will be a year when God will show them wonders, and the preceding year was the year of Nisim, of miracles. This acronym is what the year Tav Nun Shin Aleph stands for. So consequently, if throughout the entire year you have to serve God in a miraculous way, because that's what the whole year is about, a year of Neflois, a year of wonders, how much more so when we get to the month of Nisan, that this is a time to focus on the miraculous. And this gives us the strength, by virtue of the taking out of three Torah scrolls on the Shabbos Rosh Chodesh of this year, to even go to a higher level of miraculous service of God, higher than it was in past years. Now, when we read the Torah reading of these three books on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we can find reference to the miraculous, the strengthening of the miraculous approach to serving God. In the third Torah scroll, which brings the verse, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, this month shall be unto you. So there are several points here. Number one, our sages say that when God chose Jacob and his children, in other words, when he chose the Jewish people, he established a Rosh Chodesh of redemption. What does that mean? That this is a day when we have the power to redeem ourselves from all those things that limit and confine us, and it allows us to enter into the realm of the miraculous, serving God in a miraculous, supernatural way. Number two, later on in the section, it talks about the Karban Pesach, the Paschal offering. Why is it called Pesach? Because God passed over. What does that mean? That we're passing over the normal and natural order. That's the third Torah scroll. In the second Torah scroll, which talks about Rosh Chodesh, the word Chodesh means chidush, novelty, something that's new, going to a new level in serving God that is above and beyond the norm. We know that the days of the week are connected to the sun, the cycle of the sun, which represents the natural, the routine, the established order, whereas the days of the month, which are dependent on the moon, which is renewed every single month, that indicates something that is novel, something that is radical, something that is beyond the norm. Now, there's an additional chiddush, an additional novelty, when Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh, because that's when you have the two cycles coming together. Shabbos, which is part of the weekly cycle representing the sun, coming together with Rosh Chodesh, which is the day that represents the cycle of the moon. So what does that indicate? That the chiddush, the novelty, has to permeate the routine and the norm and the constant. Then we get to the reading of the first Torah scroll, Vayikra. What does it talk about? Vayikra el Moshe. God calls out to Moshe and he speaks to him from the tent of meeting. What does this mean if we translate this in our service of God? That every Jew symbolizes the revelation of God to the Moshe within every Jew, to the extent that one's revelation of godliness within the Moshe of every Jew permeates the entire person and causes the person to feel that God is right next to him, that he could see him, which is a sample of the way things will be in the future. Also, in the continuation of the parshas of the book of Vayikra, it talks about godliness being revealed to the Jew. For example, in Parsha Shmini, which was also said on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, talks about how the Shechina, the Divine Presence, was revealed in the sanctuary, in the Beis HaMikdash, and then it talks about how the sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, served God with such completion and intensity to the point that their souls left their bodies. So we have to learn from the sons of Aaron, because we are all his sons, we are all his students, as it says in Pirkei Avos, you should be the students of Aaron. So we also have to serve God in such perfection to the point that our souls are prepared to leave our bodies, but we remain here in this world alive. So this is the lesson from Parshas Vayikra for each and every Jew, that he has to experience the Vayikra El Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem in love, that he experiences God calling out to Moshe and God speaking to him and serving God with complete totality, where the soul is ready to expire. And this has to become a permanent fixture and an established one, as it says in the Parsha, that you should not withhold the melach, the salt, and the sacrifice, which is part of a bris, a covenant, and the meaning of a covenant that is it's an eternal thing. So in conclusion, and to summarize, the Rebbe says, by reading the three books, we have three steps in the strengthening of our service of God of the miraculous order. From Parshas HaChodesh, we learn about the idea of serving God in a miraculous way. From the reading of the Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, we read that this miraculous service of God has to also permeate the natural, the norm, the routine. And number three, from Vayikra, we learn that this miraculous has to be established and permanent. It cannot just be a fleeting thing, fly by night. Also, when we read the prophetic reading, the Haftarah, we read about the connection of the Nasi, the leader, and the Jewish people. What does that symbolize? That all the Jewish people have to serve God in a manner of a Nasi. Nasi means someone who is exalted in a miraculous way, that is exalted above and beyond nature, above and beyond the norm and routine service of God. And it has to be, as the Haftarah says, Chukas Olam Tamid, Olas Tamid, permanent. It cannot just be a temporary experience, it has to be a permanent one. Now the power to have this chazaka, this strengthening, by virtue of taking out three Torah scrolls on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Nisan, this power can also transform the negative. As we just read in the verse, that we read when we take out the Torah scroll, V'yafutzu oyvecha, your enemy shall be scattered, but we have the power through this to transform it into something positive. And this is also hinted in the three books and the Haftarah. In the reading of the third book, Parshas HaChodesh, talks about Nisan, the month of miracles, and that the ultimate miracle is that that which has fallen in the time of exile transforms itself into miracles of miracles in the time of redemption. The parasha concludes with a mitzvah, the commandment to eat matzah. Matzah is about nullifying the Yetzirah, the evil impulse, which is called chametz. As it says that in the Messianic age, God will remove the spirit of impurity, the Yetzirah, the evil impulse, from the world, and the only thing that will be left will be matzah. The reading of Rosh Chodesh, that takes care of the reading of Parshas HaChodesh. Now the reading of Rosh Chodesh, the sacrifice for Rosh Chodesh, was designed, as it were, for God to get atonement for his diminution of the moon. Now this atonement includes atonement for all negative things that came as a result and as a consequence of the diminution of the moon. Because the diminution of the moon is the cause for the sin of the tree of knowledge and all the other subsequent sins. So the sacrifice of Rosh Chodesh, therefore, is the ultimate and total and complete atonement for all the sins, to the extent that the sins, even the intentional ones, are transformed into positive ones, which is similar to what will happen in the future, where it says that the light of the moon will revert back to be as strong as the light of the sun. Complete correction of what happened in the beginning. Also, the connection to Shabbos, which is the perfection of the days of the week, which are based on the solar cycle. The fact that it coincides with Rosh Chodesh, which follows the lunar cycle, That also is a hint for the verse that talks about the future, that the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. Then we get to the first Torah scroll, Parshas Vayikra. There it talks about the sacrifices that were brought to atone for negative things, as it says at the end of the Parsha, La'ashmaba, someone who is guilty. And these sacrifices transforms the negatives into light. Also it talks about the salt that we have to put on all of our flour offerings. And what is the function of salt? To flavor and to enhance even bitter and bad-tasting food, transforming darkness into light. And the Haftarah, which talks about Parshas HaChodesh, is said after Parshas Parah to teach us that we have to purify ourselves from the sprinkling of the red heifer so we can bring the Korban Pesach, the Paschal offering, in a state of purity. And in that Haftarah, it also talks about this atonement for sins. And after the Haftarah, Parshas HaChodesh, we read a few verses from Rosh Chodesh Haftarah, where it also talks about the transformation of the negatives at the end of the Haftarah. So based on this explanation, that the taking out of the three Torah scrolls of Rosh Chodesh Nissan creates a chazakah, a force, a powerful force to serve God in a miraculous manner, this will shed light on something else in addition to what was said before. So there's a dispute in the Talmud between the sages and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. When do we have to start studying the laws of Pesach? According to the sages, 30 days before. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, 2 weeks before. The halacha, the final decision in this matter, is that it's 30 days. But our sages tell us that even when we have disputes, both sides represent the truth, the godly truth. And we have to learn something from every opinion, even the opinions that we do not follow. And here too, we have to learn lessons. It's obvious that we should start learning the laws of Pesach 30 days before, but 2 weeks before, we have to increase in the learning in a higher level, both qualitatively and quantitatively. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel explains that why do we have to start 2 weeks before, which is Rosh Chodesh, is because Moshe began to teach the Jewish people about Pesach on Rosh Chodesh. And that's when he says the words, HaChodesh Hazol Lechem Reish Chodeshim. So what does this tell us? The words, HaChodesh Hazol Lechem Reish Chodeshim, this is the new month, which, as we said before, represents the miraculous approach, that gives us the strength that when we learn the laws of Pesach, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan onward, we learn it in a much higher way, just like the service of God has to be in a much higher way, in a miraculous way. And the same thing is true with providing for the needs of the holiday to the needy. In general, everyone has to make an honest appraisal if he gives to the needy as is fitting for him. Is he giving what the Jewish law requires, a minimum of 10% and preferably 20%? You also have to make an accounting that based on the additional profits that you have earned, that you have to give more. And also, since it says that giving tzedakah, aser, tithe, give charity, to aser, b'shvir shetisashru, in order that you should become rich, that means you should give before you make the profit, in order to make the profit. And the more you give, the more God's blessing will manifest itself with incredible wealth. So from Rosh Chodesh Nisan onward, when we start serving God in a miraculous way, we have to give more than our natural tendencies, more than a tenth, and even more than a fifth, to the point of in an unlimited way. Now our sages refer to this mitzvah as of Chodesh Hazol Lechem as a mitzvah, the first and foremost of all mitzvahs. That means that it's connected to the idea of mitzvah, which the most foremost, the most prominent form of a mitzvah is the mitzvah of tzedakah, which is considered to be equal to all the mitzvahs. And in the Jerusalem Talmud, the word mitzvah refers specifically to tzedakah, because it really transcends all the mitzvahs. And through the mitzvah of tzedakah, that increases our learning of Torah and the learning of the laws of Pesach, because tzedakah refines the mind and the heart and makes it 1,000 times more refined. The idea of increasing and serving God in a miraculous way, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is also hinted in the name of the Nasi, the leader who brought his sacrifice to dedicate the sanctuary on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This Nasi's name was Nachshon ben Aminadav. It doesn't say that he was the Nasi of the tribe of Yehuda, as it says with the other leaders, in order to underscore that Nachshon had his own personal merit, not just that he was the leader of a whole tribe of the children of Yehuda. As it says, why is he called Nachshon? Because he was the first one to go into the water, the overpowering waters of the sea. That means he had Mesiras Nefesh, something that transcends the norm, a miraculous approach. And that is underscored when we give tzedakah more than the limits that we have imposed on ourselves. As the name Nachshon ben Aminadav, the last syllable of his father's name, Nadav, means benevolence, and a benevolence that is beyond any measure. Because if there's a measure beyond it, it's still not complete. And this benevolence translates in actual practice, as it says about the Mishkan, Kol Nidiv Libo, those who are benevolent, Yivieha, will bring it, physically bring their contributions. Now, Nachshon's behavior got rid of all the negatives. The sea in which the godly energy is covered up, where God is concealed and becomes a part of nature, that sea was split and turned into dry land, turned into holiness, because the idea of the sea represents a high level of holiness, a hidden level, and this has become revealed, and through that we are able to leave all sorts of limitations and boundaries. Tzedakah is also called kofar, an atonement, because it cleanses a person and atones the person from all negatives, and the main thing is that it says in the Talmud, Gedola tzedakah, Shemikarevis es ha-ge'ula, tzedakah is great because it hastens the redemption. Tzedakah transforms the sea of exile, the stormy sea of exile, into a stormy sea of redemption. As it says that the world will be filled with the knowledge of God as the sea is covered with water. And the primary and essential thing is that all the good resolutions that everyone takes upon himself in serving God, which includes learning the laws of Pesach, giving contributions to those who are needy for the needs of the holiday, and doing it in a miraculous manner, that will bring immediately God's miraculous actions, beginning with a true and complete redemption. Then we will be able to fulfill all the laws of Pesach. We will be able to bring the Korban Pesach, the Paschal offering, on the 14th of Nisan, and eat it on the 15th of Nisan, on the King's table, God himself in Yerushalayim, and the third Beis HaMikdash. And the essential thing is that this should happen imminently on the Shabbos, which is a sample of the Shabbos of the future, which is entirely Shabbos, of Parshas Vayikra, which talks about God calling to Moshe in the Ohel Moed, which is the first of the many temples, including the third, that will be built in the days of Mashiach, which comprises all the other temples. On Rosh Chodesh, that's the new moon that represents the newness, the renewal of the Jewish people in the time of redemption, and it's the Rosh Chodesh of Nisan, the month of redemption, as it says they were redeemed in Nisan, and they will be redeemed in Nisan, and it's the year Tafshin Nun Aleph, Tenaseh, which the word itself means to be exalted, referring to the exaltedness of Melech HaMashiach, the King Mashiach, and it's the year Hayitehei Shnas Arenin Neflois, it'll be the year when I will show him wonders, as it says that the ultimate future redemption is compared to the days that God took us out of Egypt, Arenu, and I will show them wonders. And all of this is in a matter of chazaka, by taking out three Torah scrolls and reading all three of them, and the Haftorah, and all of them we read about the Geula. So that means that we have to soon see the revelation of the Ark and the Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash with a third redemption, and all flesh will come to bow down there. Therefore, on the 14th of Nisan, we will all be in the Beis HaMikdash, rejoicing with its construction, and thanking God with a new song for our redemption. And we will conclude, Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you God, Gal Yisrael, the Redeemer of Israel. The following is a summary of the synopsis of the Shabbos, Parshas Vayikra, Sicha of the Yer Tavshin and Aleph. The unique quality of this Shabbos, which is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is that three Torah scrolls were taken out and read, which is only done on a regular basis every year on Simchas Torah, but in certain years we do it on other times as well. And something is also unique about this, is that all three Torah readings talk about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Parshas HaChodesh explicitly talks about this is the month that is the head of all months. Rosh Chodesh, the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh, and the Parsha of Vayikra was said on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So all three Torah readings relate to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The significance of taking out the Torah scrolls, and three in particular, we'll understand its significance based on the verse that we say, Vayhi ben so ha'aron. And Moshe referred to this journey of the Ark that gives us the power to get rid of all of our enemies, and also strengthening the good. And this Shabbos creates a chazaka, an established fact that strengthens us not just in serving God in a routine manner, but serving God in a miraculous way. Because when we take our three Torah scrolls and Simchas Torah, that represents strengthening us in our natural and routine level of serving God. And there are three details over here. Number one, strengthening serving God in a miraculous way, that it also permeates the norm and the natural, and that it remains forever. But in addition, it also has the power to transform the negative to good. And all this is hinted in the Torah reading on all three of these Torah scrolls. Now the power that is given the Shabbos also increases the level of dedication to providing the needs of the holiday to those who are needy, and the learning of the laws of the holiday that we should learn in a much higher manner, in a miraculous manner, compared to the years that preceded. Whatever level we reach in the past, we go to a level that is higher. And we follow the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is when we have to really start worrying about and concerned about the preparations, even though the halacha is that we start 30 days before, but it intensifies 2 weeks before. And we learn a lesson from the self-sacrifice of Nachshon ben Aminadav, the first one to bring a sacrifice on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and also of Nadav and Avihu, whose passion for God led their souls to leave their bodies. And the main thing is that we should have the completion of the mitzvahs of Pesach by the miraculous deeds of God himself to bring the redemption immediately. And the practical instructions, the Rebbe says, number one, to increase in the learning of the laws of the festival, quantitatively and qualitatively. And number two, to increase the giving of tzedakah for those who are needy for the needs of the festival, and giving more than one has given in the past. Now, from an excerpt from the book Besuras HaGeula, The Announcement of the Redemption, the Rebbe says, or in a letter that he gave, the 25th of Adar, of the year 5751, as we come from the days of Purim, days of miracles which God performed in those days at this time, and as we approach the holiday of Passover, when we celebrate the holiday of the time of our freedom, and we thank God for the wonders and miracles which he performed for us at the Exodus from Egypt, so the Rebbe says, now is an appropriate time to turn our complete attention to the wonders and miracles which occurred close to this year's Purim. These were open miracles, not just for the Jewish people, but also for all peoples, until all the ends of the earth saw. Everyone saw the great miracles that occurred at that time. According to the natural conditions of the world, in such a situation, there should have been not only a declaration of war, etc., but the conflict should have involved many countries and ignited into a world war, God forbid. What actually happened was beyond the familiar natural order, for not only was a world war avoided, but the war that did break out ended quietly. At the time, all the signs indicated it would be a difficult war, and therefore a huge army was mobilized, well-equipped with used caches of the most sophisticated weapons. After all the arrangements, which is the procedure when preparing oneself for a long war, which must last weeks, months, the victory came in a very short time. The victory was so remarkable that it not only avoided a bloodbath between the nations of the world, as was feared at first, but it also reached the point that the enemy freed, in a fitting manner, some of the prisoners of war and even some of those captured earlier. And still more, those who know what is done behind the scenes and are acquainted with a great many unpublicized details realize much more the amazing wonders and miracles which occurred at this time in these days. During the course of this year, to which the Jewish people gave the name and the sign, it will be a year of miracles that I will show him. And even before this, at the conclusion of the past year, designated by the Jewish people with a sign, it will be a year of miracles. It has been emphasized many times what our sages of blessed memory have foretold in the Yalkut Shemoni, Yeshayahu, regarding the war which would come in that part of the world, namely, that they are among the signs that the complete and true redemption through a righteous Mashiach is imminent. In the light of the above-mentioned events and miracles, one needs to strengthen awareness that this is the time to prepare immediately for the fulfillment of the promise, for sovereignty is the Lord's, when all people will be convinced that there is a master to this world, and this acknowledgement will bring them to call all of them on the name of God to serve him together.